طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولاه. Today إن شاء الله this is our 22nd session, 22nd class from book 1, جزء الأول, مدينة Arabic course. Last week we started looking at lesson number 13, which deals with a number of different things. From amongst them, plurals, sound plurals and broken plurals. And I'm not going to go into it at this point, but we also covered the plural for hadha or hadhihi, right? The ism ishara, ha'ulai, is the plural for hadha or hadhihi. And we also talked about the plural for huwa, the pronoun huwa. We said the pronoun for huwa, a plural pronoun for huwa is hum. And it's used as a connected pronoun as well as an independent pronoun. Connected pronoun meaning that it's showing possession, possessive pronoun. You say kitabuhum, their book. And you also use it as a regular pronoun. You say hum muslimun, they are Muslims. So they and they, both of them, are represented by the pronoun hum. That's in the key. We talked about it briefly last week, and we'll see it in the lesson, inshallah. The other plural that we talked about was plural of verbs. And in the third person, masculine singular, dhahaba, the plural is dhahabu. Say huwa dhahaba, hum dhahabu. Those are some of the points that we mentioned from the key for this lesson 13 last week. But the main thing in this lesson, and that's what we want to talk about right now, are the broken plurals. Okay, we said that plurals are sound or broken. There are two types of plurals in Arabic. Sound plurals and broken plurals. As far as the sound plurals, we said sound plurals in Arabic are words which the structure of the word remains perfectly intact, with no change to the beginning of it, and no change within it, not by adding letters or elongating vowels. There's no change in it, except you add a suffix to the end of the word. Okay, and we gave these examples before Salat. We said, for example, the word Muslim, the singular word Muslim, to make it plural with a sound plural, we just add waw and noon. So it becomes Muslimuna. And the same thing with mu'min, this singular, to make it plural, we just add waw and noon, it becomes mu'minuna. And the same thing with kafir, this singular, if we want to make it plural, we add waw and noon, it becomes kafiruna. So what do we understand from that? We understand that words that have sound plurals, you don't have to add anything to the beginning of the word or within it. You don't double consonants, nor do you elongate vowels. Rather, you just add the ending, which in this case, if it is marfu'un, if the noun is marfu'un with dhamma, then you just add waw and noon. Okay, so Muslim becomes Muslimuna, and Mu'min becomes Mu'minuna, and Munafiq becomes what? Munafiquna, and so on like this. Those are sound plurals. As far as the broken plurals, we said that broken plurals have patterns. And what do we mean by patterns? We mean awzan. Awzan. What are awzan? The singular of it is wazan. Waw, zay, noon. Wazan. The wazan means a pattern. And awzan means patterns.
Awzan is on the wazan of af'al.
Af'al, naam. Jazakallah khair. Alright, so what are we saying now? We want to talk about these patterns, okay? We have on the board 8 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. We have 8 patterns on the board here. And those 8 patterns are the 8 patterns that came in the key. In the same order they came in the key, going from right to left, we wrote them here in the same order. Doesn't matter what order you learn them in. Learn them in the order that's easier for you. But in any case, that's the way it came in the key, in this order. The first pattern that they gave is fu'ul. And the second pattern they gave is fu'ul. And the third pattern that they gave is fi'al. And the fourth pattern they gave is fu'al. And the fifth pattern they gave is af'al. And the sixth pattern they gave is fu'ala'u, with a single vowel. And the seventh pattern they gave is af'ila'u, with a single vowel, because it's mamnoom and a sarf. And the eighth pattern they gave is fi'latun, with tarmabuta on the end, fi'latun. And what you should notice about all of these patterns is that all of them consist of letters that contain fa, ayn, and lam. The fa and the ayn and the lam in these patterns represent the first letter of the root of the word, and the second letter of the root of the word, and the third letter of the root of the word. Meaning, the fa represents in the pattern, if you apply this pattern to any word, what happens with the fa in the pattern is what you're going to do to the first letter of the root of the word. And what happens to the ayn in the pattern? If it takes fatha, kasra, or dhamma, or long vowel, or shadda, you're going to do that to the second letter of the root of the word. And what happens to the lamb in the pattern is what you're going to do to the third letter of the root of the word. Okay, so every word has a root, and most words in Arabic are triliteral in root. So they're going to have three letters. That's going to be the root of the word. So the first letter of the root, you're going to do something to it according to what happens to the fa in the pattern. And the second letter of the root, you're going to do to it whatever happens to the ayn of the pattern. And the third letter of the root, you're going to do to it whatever happened to the lamb of the pattern. So what do we mean by that? Let's look at the example. The first example that we have here is the pattern for fu'ul. And the example that they gave is najmun. Najmun. Najmun consists of three letters, which are the triliteral root of the word. Those three letters that it consists of are noon, jim, and meem. So we put here noon, jim, and meem. What are we going to do to the noon, which is the first letter of the word? We're going to do whatever happens to the fa of the pattern. What are we going to do to the jim of this word, which is the second letter of the root? We're going to do whatever happens to the ayn of the pattern, because the ayn represents the second letter of the root. And what are we going to do with the meem of this root? Whatever happens to the lam of the pattern, because the lamb represents the third letter of the root. So this is the first letter, this is the second letter, this is the third letter. The first letter is represented by fa, the second letter, jim here, is represented by ayn in the pattern, and the third letter, the meem, is represented by lam in the pattern. So patterns for broken plurals, as well as patterns for the infinitive, masdar, patterns for verbs, Madi past tense verbs, Mudari present tense verbs, all patterns in Arabic are represented by these three letters. All the patterns are always going to be represented by fa, ayn, and lam. And the fa is always going to represent the first letter of the root, and the ayn is always going to represent the second letter of the root, and the lam is always going to represent the third letter of the root, whether it's nouns, verbs, or whatever. Any kind of words in Arabic, if there's a pattern for that word, the pattern is going to be represented by these three letters, fa, ayn, and lam. Okay, that's how the patterns are represented in Arabic. So what do we mean by fa? We mean the first letter of the root of the word. What do we mean by ayn? We mean the second letter of the root of the word. And what do we mean by lam? We mean the third letter of the root of the word. Okay, so going back to this example here. Noon is the first letter of the root of the word, jim is the second letter, meem is the third letter. In the pattern, the first letter of the root of the word represented by fa takes dhamma. The second letter of the root of the word represented by ayn in the pattern takes dhamma waw. And the third letter doesn't have any change to it. Okay, we have tanween there, but it could be a tanween, double vowel, or it could be a single vowel. If that word, which is a noun, has alif lam, it's not going to take tanween, right? Wa alaykum salam. All the what we're talking about, broken plurals, are all nouns. Nouns can take alif lam or tanween, right? So, this word, though we have tanween here, if the actual word, if we put alif lam on it, it's not going to have tanween anymore, right?
No.
It's not going to have tanween once we put alif lam. Alright, but for now, we're going to leave the tanween just to represent something of the ending of the word, okay? Because we want to note that there are some broken plural patterns that don't take tanween, like fu'ala'u and أفعلاؤه. These two patterns do not take تنوين because these patterns are ممنوع من الصرف. They are ممنوع من الصرف. That means they don't change like normal nouns do. They have some limitation in changes that take place. And from their limitations is that they don't take تنوين. And from their limitations is that they don't take كسرة. And if one of these words was مجرور, after following a preposition, where it's supposed to be, if it's مجرور, it's supposed to be what? Take كسرة on the end. Well, they don't take كسرة. Okay, because they're ممنوع من الصرف. طيب. طيب. Alright. So, this pattern takes ضمّة, then ضمّة واو. Right? So what we're going to do with the noon, we're going to put ضمّة. What we're going to do with the jim, ضمّة واو. And then instead of the singular, which is نجمون, we're going to have the plural, which is what? What's the plural? نجوم. نجومون. نجومون. With تنوين, it would be what? نجومون. With ألف لام, it would be what? If it had ألف لام. The plural. النجوم. With a single vowel, if it has ألف لام, right? النجوم. Without ألف لام, نجومون. Okay. The fa, again, represents the first letter of the root of the word. The ayn represents the second letter of the root of the word. The lam represents the third letter of the root of the word. So whatever we see happening to the fa, that's what we want to do to the first letter. Whatever happens to the ayn, that's what we want to do. The same thing, same voweling. And whatever happens to the lam is what we want to do to the last letter of the root of the word. So that's one example. Okay, we're going to look at a lot of examples today. Now,
when can a word have alif before, like نجوم, when can it become a نجوم?
Well, yes.
The
Do you have another question?
Oh no, subhanAllah.
What?
Nothing.
You want to answer his question?
No.
No, I was afraid maybe you have a different question. I'll take his question first.
No, subhanAllah, it's all right.
Okay. Alright. When can a word like نجوم, when can it take ألف لام? Whenever you want it to. ألف لام represents the definite article. If you want to say the stars, right? THE, then you have to put ألف لام on it. But if you just want to say stars without making it definite, then you don't have ألف لام, you have تنوين.
I think he said, why did you put the aleph over, but the noon is a haruf al shams.
So are you saying, why are we saying en nujum instead of el nujum?
Yeah.
Why are we saying en nujum instead of el nujum? No. Oh, because noon is a letter harf, shamsi. Okay, look. Look. This letter, this word here, right, نجوم, begins with the letter نون, which is the letter of حروف شمسية. Whenever you put ألف لام on a word that begins with one of the sun letters, then you don't pronounce this lam. Rather, you go straight, you double the first letter and make it. All right, you say أن نجوم, right? The same way as if you had صمد, right? صمدون. If you put ألف لام here, you don't say أل صمد, you say what?
الصمد.
Okay? And the same way you have رحمن, if you put ألف لام in front of you, don't say أل رحمن, you say what? الرحمن. Is that your question? Okay, alhamdulillah. Noon is one of the sun letters. The sun letters, when you have ألف لام, you double that letter and don't pronounce the لام. نعم. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to scare anybody.
I didn't want to say it.
Yes.
But I thought, when you want to write a nojum,
Well, when you pronounce, you say an-nujum, but when you write it, you have to write alif lam.
Yes, you have to write alif lam, yes.
But in this case, you don't do that.
No, in this case, you do that.
Okay.
If you want to put alif lam here, you're going to write lam. But you're not going to pronounce the lam. You're not going to pronounce the lam. You're going to say, instead of saying L, you're going to put the lam there. But you're not going to pronounce it. You're going to double the noon, and you're going to say An-Nujumu. But you have to write the lam, yes. You have to write the lam, but you don't pronounce it. Well, actually, the Hamza Tawassul here doesn't come into play because there's nothing before it. Only if there's something before it. Hamza Tawassul that's written over the Aleph is not pronounced when there's something before it. But if you're saying En Nujum, there's no Hamza Tawassul here. There's no Hamza Tawassul. You're pronouncing it. You're saying Al. I mean, you're saying Ah. So that means that Fatha in the beginning, Fatha, is if there's a word before, you're not going to pronounce the Fatha. That's when the Hamza Tawassul comes into play. Okay. Let's go back to the example here, okay? So, we have a pattern. This pattern is Fool, right? So if this word Najmun comes under this pattern, then we're going to apply the rules of this pattern, the same format, Bamma, Bamma, Wow, to this this word is become fighting some No Joon, Bamma, Bamma, Wow. Okay, that's one pattern. We're going to look at a lot of words for each one of these patterns, but right now we just want to look at the patterns to get an idea how they're working. Okay, second pattern. The second pattern is fu'ul. Fu'ul. Dhamma, dhamma. Short vowels. Fu'ul. Fu'ulun. Fu'ul. Alright? That means the first letter of the root of the word takes what? Dhamma. And the second letter of the root of the word takes what? Dhamma. Okay? So this pattern, the fa, first letter, takes dhamma. The ayn, which represents the second letter, also takes dhamma. And there's no change to the end of it. There's no change here. There's nothing special happening here. It's just tanween, or if it has alif lam, it'll be a single vowel. Alright? So, fa'ul. So, for example, we have the word here, as an example. We have the word kitab. Alright? We have this word, kitab. Kitab has how many letters in the word itself? How many letters are in that word? Three letters? Four letters. You have kaf, ta, alif, and ba. We want only three letters. So that means one of these letters is a letter of increase. A letter that was added. We want to get rid of that letter, and we only want to go with the root letters, right? So what are the root letters of this word kitab? Kaf, right? Kaf, ta, and ba. Those are the root letters. Kaf, ta, and ba. The root letters are kaf, ta, and ba. I need a little bit of space here. Kaf, ta, and ba. Tayyib. According to this pattern, the pattern of fu'ul, according to this pattern, the first letter, the fa of the word, takes what? Dhamma. And the second letter, the ayn, of the word takes Dhamma. So what are we going to do with these three letters? Kaf, Ta, and Ba. How are we going to vowel it? We're going to vowel it. The Fa of the word, the first letter we're going to put Dhamma. The Ayn of the word, the second letter we're going to put Dhamma. So it becomes what? Qutubun. So the plural of Kitab on the wazn of Fu'ul is Qutub. Fu'ul, the wazn of fu'ul for kitab would be kutub. Okay, somebody give me another word that goes for this pattern. Just as an example, another word that goes for this pattern.
Jadid.
Jadid. Jadid. What does jadid mean? Jadidun means new, right? Okay, what are the root letters of the word jadid? What are its root letters? We have 1, 2, 3, 4 letters again. What's the first letter of this word jadid? The root?
Jim.
What's the second letter of its root?
Dal.
And what's the third letter of its root?
Dal.
Ya is a letter of increase that has been added to it. Okay? So according to this pattern of fa'ul, The first letter, the fa of the word takes dhamma. The second letter, the ayn of the word takes dhamma. And the third letter, there's no change to it. Alright, so this word will be what? Judud. Jududun. Judud. So the plural of jadid, according to the wazn of fu'ul, dhamma dhamma, is judud. In the same way that the plural of kitab is kutub. Okay? One more example. One more word that is according to this pattern. Huh? Rasul. Rasulun. What does that mean?
Messenger.
Rasulun. Okay? Here again we have four letters. We have Ra, Sin, Waw, and Lam. What is the root letters that we want to look at for this word? Ra, Sin, Sin, and Lam. Okay, normally, most of the time, when you're looking for the letter of increase in a word, the first thing you should look through is for a long vowel. Most of the time, if you see a long vowel, that's a letter of increase. We saw here in Kitab, the letter of increase was what? Aleph. We saw here in Jadid, the letter of increase was what?
Yeah.
And in Rasul, the letter of increase is what?
Wow.
We see three of the letters that are used for long vowels. Aleph, Wow, and Yeah. Most of the time, in any word that has more than the root letters, has extra letters that are added, most of the time it's going to be a long vowel. So first thing, look for Aleph, Wow, or Yeah. If you see that, immediately take that out. That's going to be your best guess if you don't know. That it's going to be one of the long vowels. Now, maybe other letters also, but most likely that's what it will be. More likely than anything else. So now we know that after we take out this long vowel here, we have Ra, Sin, and Lam, right? So, the Ra, what are we going to do to the Ra according to the pattern of Fu'ul? Dhamma, Dhamma. What are we going to do to the first letter?
Dhamma.
Dhamma. Second letter?
Dhamma.
Dhamma. And the third letter? No change. It remains the same. So we have what? It's a little twisted Rusul, but anyway, it's Rusul, right? Rusul. So we have here, Kitab, Kutubun, Jadid, Jududun, Rasul, Rusulun. Of course, this would be connected. Rusul. Rusulun. Alright? Now, let's look at the next pattern that came in the book. The next pattern is the pattern of fi'alun. Fi'alun. In this pattern, what we have here, and I hope, I'm going to erase this, so if you need it, you should write it quickly, because I'm not going to leave it on the board. In this pattern, the third pattern that came in the key, the English key of the book, we have fi'alun. The letters that are the form, the root of the pattern is fa, ayn, and lam. So the first letter of the root of the word, the fa letter, is going to take kasra. The second letter of the root of the word, represented by ayn, is going to take fatta alif, long vowel. And the third letter of the root of the word, represented by lam, is not going to have any change to it. It's not going to have any change to it. Alright? So what's going to happen to this word when we put it into a plural form according to the pattern of fi'al? We're going to make kasra, fatta alif, and then the last letter is going to remain the same. Huh? It's going to be kasra, fatta alif, and the last letter is going to remain the same. So for example, if we have here for example, this word, Jabalun, what does that mean? A mountain, Jabalun. So we want the plural of Jabalun, and we know that it's on the pattern of Fi'al. So we have the first letter, we only have three letters in this word, so it's easy, right? There's Jim, there's Ba, and there's Lam. Jim, Ba, and Lam. According to this pattern, the first letter of the root of the word, the fa letter, is going to take what?
Kasra.
The second letter, the ayn of the word, is going to take what? Fatta alif. Fatta alif. So we have what? Jibalun. Jibalun. Alright, so from Jabal we have what? Jibal. From Jabal we have Jibal. Because what you're going to do? You're going to put Kasra on the first letter, Fatha, Aleph on the second letter, and the third letter doesn't have any change. You don't have to do anything to it. So you from Jabalun, you get Jibalun. Now keep in mind, as the brother asked before Salat, how do we know which pattern to apply to a word? How do we know? Well, if you see a word like the word Jabal and you don't know what is its plural, so how do you know which pattern am I going to use to make it a plural? There's one of two ways for you to know. Either you're going to ask somebody who knows, or you're going to look it up in a dictionary. You're going to ask somebody who knows, or you're going to look it up in a dictionary. There's no way to know automatically when you see Jabal that the plural of it is going to be Jibal. You have to ask somebody, what's the plural of Jabal? They're going to tell you Jibal. You don't have anybody to ask, you're going to look in the dictionary. You're going to look up the word Jabal, and then you're going to find, they're going to give you the plural, they're going to say it's Jibal. And from that, you're going to come to know that it's on the wazn of fi'al. So you're going to associate that word with other words that's on the same pattern. You're going to look for other words that also have the same pattern and learn them together. Read them over and over and over again together until those words are associated with each other. And when you think of Jibal, when you think of Jabal Jibal, you're going to also think of other words that's on the same pattern. Okay? So from the words that's on the same pattern is another example that we can use here, and that is Rajulun. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Rajulun. What does that mean, Rajulun? Huh? A man. A man. So what if you want to write something, but you don't want to say man, you don't say I saw a man, you want to say I saw men. Some men. So you don't know what the plural of Rajul is. So you look at the root. There's only three letters here, so it's easy, right? You know it's going to be Ra, and it's going to be Jim, and it's going to be Lam. Ra, Jim, and Lam. Those are the three letters of the root. So what are you going to do to it? According to the pattern, this pattern that we have here, Fi'al, you know you're going to, the first letter is going to take Kasra, the second letter is going to take Fatha, Aleph, and the third letter doesn't require any change. So from Rajulun you have what? Rijalun. So now you're going to associate Jibalun with Rijalun, because they're both on the same pattern. So you learn those words together, and if you forget one, the other one that you associated with it will help you to remember that it's on the same pattern. Okay, so ultimately, what does it boil down to? It boils down to memorization. You have to memorize it. Okay? As we were going through this book, from the first lesson, I told you, you have to memorize the vocabulary, right? There's no escape from this. In order for you to learn Arabic language, you have to memorize vocabulary words. You have to. There's no escape. You will not be able to read Arabic and understand what you're reading unless you memorize the words. You have to memorize every single word. You have to memorize. Not some of them and the others would just come automatically. No, you have to memorize every word. Whichever word you didn't memorize, you're not going to know what it means. You're just not going to know what it means unless you memorize it. So these plurals are also words that have to be memorized. There's no escape from it. But will you memorize every one individually, one by one, without associating it with the group that it belongs to? That's up to you. Or will you memorize it along with other words that are from the same group, same pattern? Which by association, one word will help you to remember another word. That's up to you, as you like. You want to memorize them individually without putting them in a group, without association, that's your right. Do it as you like. But if you memorize them as a group and associate words with other words, it will help you. Believe me, it's easier. As far as the Arab person, whose language is Arabic, as a child, they don't learn any patterns. They don't even know that Rijal and Jibal are from the same wazn. They don't know that. They just learned Rijal. As a child, they heard somebody saying Rijal, and they eventually understood that's the plural of Rajul. And that's it. They just memorized it like that. Somewhere along the line, they heard Jabal and Jibal, and they just memorized them. And they never even probably paid attention that Jibal and Rijal are from the same parent group. They probably never paid attention to that. They just memorized them all. But as non-Arabic speaking people, you have the opportunity now to learn it the way they learned it, one by one, without any association, or to learn them in groups by patterns, by association. You can do that. It's up to you, as you like. Whichever way you like, whichever way you find easier, do it the way you like. But my own experience is that if you learn things in groups, by association, it helps you. It makes it easier. If you find it easier to just learn everyone individually without association, do it as you like. Now.
Yeah, Sheikh, I have a question. So, up on what we have on the board,
now,
we have four kinds of classes.
Well, actually, we have eight now. We have eight. We have four here, right? That we're looking at now. One, two, three, four. And we have four more here. One, two, three, four. We have eight. That in this lesson, we're going to study eight.
So, what will the pattern help us for?
What will help us for?
Yes.
Well, the pattern helps you because when you can recognize that something has a certain format, it's not just haphazard. Rather, it's the words in Arabic, they are placed systematically according to some kind of organized thinking. There are patterns to the Arabic language. Okay, if a person recognizes certain patterns, okay, how do you think these people guess what the weather is going to be tomorrow? By patterns. They know that when the wind is coming in a certain way, if they see clouds coming in a certain direction, if the temperature is a certain temperature, from experience, from years and years and years of monitoring the weather, they realize that when certain things come together in a certain pattern, it's going to cause rain. It's going to cause snow. It's going to cause hail. They know that if there's a certain wind, if there's moisture in the clouds, if the temperature reaches a certain temperature, according to the patterns of what they have seen, they don't control any of this, but they know if the temperature reaches a certain temperature, it's going to be snow. If it's a different temperature, it's going to be hail. If it's a different temperature, it's going to be rain. How do they know that? Because that's the patterns that Allah has set up by law in the universe. They don't control any of it, but they monitored it, they watched it, and they figured out, wow, when this goes like this, this is what's going to happen. Not like they really can predict what's going to happen, but that's the pattern. Okay, so when a person knows the pattern of something, they can figure out. You know a certain person. You know that when they start coming around, that there's something happening. You know, you never see them, right? But when they come around, there's something going on, right? That's their pattern. We call that their MO, right? That's a pattern. So when you know their pattern, you can save yourself from them. Huh? When you know the pattern of things, then you can pretty much have an idea of what's going to happen next. And by knowing that, it's easier. As opposed to, when it falls on you, then you say, oh, well, I thought that was going to fall down, but I didn't really pay it any mind.
So huh? Is it only to form a plural or?
No, patterns are for everything, not just for plurals. No, there are patterns for everything, not just plurals. All types of nouns in Arabic have patterns. Okay? Masculine words have patterns, feminine words have patterns, masdars, the infinitive of the verbal nouns have patterns, verbs have patterns, past tense verbs have patterns, present tense verbs have patterns, command form verbs have patterns. Everything has a pattern in Arabic. Unlike English, everything is according to is systematically put together. It's arranged according to a system. And these patterns are called wazn or awzan. And if you know the pattern, alhamdulillah. If you don't know the pattern, you just memorize every word individually. But when you know the patterns, it helps you. Because you can see a certain pattern and you can know even the meaning of certain words from patterns. Okay, now is not the time for that. But I'll just give you one example, right? I'll give you one example. And that is the pattern of nouns that begin with meem. Nouns that begin with meem. There are three basic types. Meem with fatha, meem with kasra, and meem with dhamma. This is according to a pattern. Okay, when you add meem as a prefix to a word, if it has fatha, it means that, usually, it means that whatever is the meaning of the root that you added that meem to, is going to be applied, if it has fetta, it's going to be applied, it's going to, the meaning is going to be applied to a place or time of something. Like gharaba, gharaba means like the setting of the sun, gharaba. So if you have meme with fatta in front of it, maghrib, it means the time or the place of the setting of the sun. Maghrib means the time of sunset or the place where the sun sets in the west. Okay? If it has kasra, it means a tool or instrument. From kanasa, it means to sweep. So miknasa, meme with kasra, means a tool that's used for sweeping or a broom. Okay? If it has dhamma, then whatever is included in the root of the word, when you add dhamma to the meme, it means a person that's described with that action. So for example, azana means to call the adhan. If you put meme in front of it, mu'adhin means the one who calls the adhan. Okay? Like this. So this pattern, maybe you don't know a word, but you know azana. You know the Arabic root of it, but you don't know mu'adhin. But when you see meme with dhamma, you know it's the person who does the adhan. When you see meme with dhamma and with the root of aslama, you know it's the person who has aslama, who submitted or surrendered, a Muslim. From amana, the one who believes, if you put meme and dhamma in front of it, mu'min, it means the one who has iman. And so on, like this. So the roots actually can help you, even with words that you don't know. If you know something about the root of it, the pattern will help you to know the words that are derived from it. According to certain patterns, that means that this word will be a plural, or it will be a masdar, or it will be the person who's doing action, or tool, or instrument, or place, or time, or something like this. Okay, so the patterns actually can help you. In any case, if a person doesn't learn the patterns, they can still memorize the words just as they are, one by one, and just remember that this is a plural, this is a singular, this is a masdar, this is a verb, this is a past tense, a present tense. You can just memorize them one by one as you like. Now, Naam, if you look for patterns, it will help you sometimes to recognize the meaning of words. Naam, you should look for them. When you're reading Quran, reading Hadith, reading any book, anything that you're reading, you should try to recognize the patterns of words. So you recognize this is a masculine word, this is a feminine word. You see Tarmabuti, you know this is a feminine word. Huh? And these patterns also, yeah. So you can recognize, it's not exact in every place, because there are some patterns that apply to different types of words. The same pattern that's used for plural in some cases may be used for a masdar. That's possible. But from the context of the sentence, you can recognize which one it is. Now,
you're saying dua or hadith, or reading hadith, or whatever, do the same rules apply to Quran? Like, did we, like you're saying a dua or whatever?
No, not really.
Not
really. You can apply them, but you don't have to. You have to apply it to the Quran. The rules of tajweed are obligatory in reciting Quran. They're not obligatory in regular Arabic speech. Can you apply them? Yes, you can, for sure. But is it mandatory? No. Because tajweed, applying the rules of tajweed to the Quran is an act of worship. Applying it to regular Arabic talking is not worship. Normal Arabic speech is not required to apply the rules of tajweed. So that's not an act of worship to apply the rules of tajweed to your speech. Even to a hadith, if you're reading a hadith, you don't have to apply the rules of tajweed. Not even a dua. Not even a dua. But the Quran, it's obligatory to apply it to the Quran. Anyway, let's get back to the lesson. We have got sidetracked, way off track. Now,
I'm going to ask a question. What about the person who recites the Quran? Not apply the rule of tajweed.
Then that's sinful. Whoever recites the Quran without applying the rules of tajweed is sinful. That's a sin. Now, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does not recite the Quran according to these rules of how the Quran is supposed to be applied, he didn't say tajweed. But that's what he's referring to. The way, the proper way of recitation of Quran is according to these rules that have been developed after the fact, but the Prophet ﷺ recited the Quran like that. So when the people examined the Quran, they realized that he applied certain types of rules to certain words in certain cases. That's how they came up with these rules. They didn't just make them up. Rather, it's from the way the Prophet ﷺ recited the Quran. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's safer for a person who doesn't not to read the salah.
It's safer for a person who doesn't know tajweed not to recite Quran. Rather, they should learn the Quran from someone, not just do it however they feel like it. You have to learn the Quran from someone who knows the Quran. That's mandatory. It's mandatory. You can't just take over the Quran and just recite it however you want. No, this is not the newspaper. It's not a novel. This is the Quran, the speech of Allah. It has to be recited in a certain way. And that way, learning how to recite the Quran in the proper way is through learning the rules of what is known today as tajweed. Those rules come from the way the Prophet ﷺ taught the Quran to his companions. Those rules are derived from the way he recited it. Okay, and the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith is in Bukhari, "Man lam yataghanna bil Quran falaysa minna." Whoever doesn't recite the Quran properly, according to these rules, then he's not from us. He's not one of us. He's from somebody else. And that's sufficient for us to know. Okay, Allahu musta'an. Okay, we have another pattern here. The fourth pattern that came. The fourth pattern that came in the key, English key of the book. And that is the pattern fu'al. Fu'al. This pattern requires that for the first letter of the root, the fa letter, that it takes dhamma. The second letter, the ayn letter, takes shadda, it's doubled, and then fatha alif. And the third letter has no change. That means there are three things you have to do here. You have to change the first letter, its vowel, whatever it is, you have to change it to dhamma. The second letter, you have to double that letter with shadda. And then you have to add the long vowel fatha alif to it. Okay, so it takes dhamma, shadda, fatha, alif. Okay, the example that they gave in the key is this word, tajirun. Tajirun has how many letters?
Three.
Arba. Four. Ta, alif, jim, and ra. But what is the root? Three letters. Ta, jim, and ra. Ta, jim, and ra. Okay, the first letter of the root of tajir is ta. The second letter of the root is jim. The third letter of the root is ra. So the first letter that's represented by fa in the pattern, what happens to it? Takes dhamma. The second letter, the jim, represented by ayn in the pattern, does what? Takes shadda first, and then fatha, and alif. And the third letter doesn't require any change. So tajir, the plural of it, according to the pattern of fu'al, fu'al, dhamma, shadda, fatha. Dhamma, shadda, fatha, alif. Becomes what? Tujjar. Shadda. Tujjar. Tajir, tujjar. Taib. Another example is the word talib. Talib. What does talib mean?
Student.
Student. It has four letters. What are the three letters that are the root? Ta. Lam. And ba. Ta, la, ba. Talaba. Naam. According to the pattern of fu'al, the first letter gets what? Dhamma. The second letter gets what?
Shadda.
And? Fatha alif. Alright, so this will become what? Tullab. I guess this can be connected, right? Tullab. Talib becomes tullab. Dhamma, shadda, fatha, alif. Naam. Yes.
What is the meaning of
tulab? Tulab is the plural of talib. What's the meaning of talib?
Student.
A student. So what's the meaning of tulab?
Student.
Male students. Tulab. Male students. Alright? Taib. This is the first four patterns that we had. Before we go to the next four patterns, I want to remind you that last week I asked you to start memorizing the patterns. You have to memorize these patterns with at least two or three examples for each pattern. You can't memorize them all at one time. So you have to start memorizing them little by little, one by one. If you take one every other day, in the whole week you could memorize at least three or four of them. So by now we should have memorized at least three. Because if we skipped Sunday last week when you left here, and you started on Monday, you should have memorized one on Monday, one on Wednesday, one on Friday, and one today. Okay, we'll skip today too. We'll give you today, Sunday, last Sunday off, and this Sunday off. If you only memorize one on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, that's at least three. That you should have taken that pattern and memorized two or three examples for it. So you have some words for each pattern. And you associate those words with each other. And during the week, I started sending you some of the patterns with examples. More examples than in the book. So you can pick which examples you want to use for that pattern. Because some of those examples you might already be familiar with. You might have known some of those words already. Maybe you already know Qutb and Rusul. Because those are words that you just know just from learning Islam. Huh? You might already know Tulab or Tujjar or Hujjaj or something. Maybe you heard the word Hujjaj. The Hujjaj in the Arafat today. What Hujjaj? Hujjaj is the plural of Hajj. And it wasn't Fu'al. Okay, so maybe some words you already know. So I try to give you a more wider selection than is in the book, so you can pick the words that are easy for you. Maybe you already know some of them, or some of them you might have a desire to learn, because those words you want to use those words. So you pick what you want. But you must learn at least two or three examples for every pattern. Actually, you need to learn all the examples that came in the book, because that's part of the lesson. But I'm saying for now, at least learn a couple of them, so that you can associate them with each other and keep each pattern in your mind. So by now we should have memorized at least three. And now I'm telling you today again that you have to learn during the week at least a few of these patterns. So if the first week you lost it already, you have harmed yourself. And if you lose another week, then you have damaged yourself. And if you lose a third week, then maybe, I don't want to say it, because I don't want to disappoint anybody. But it will be no good, really. We have to do better, okay? So I'm saying please, 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 get on top of this lesson. Memorize some of these words. Because we're going to go on to the next lesson. And then you're going to be looking back and say, I lost that lesson. And you can't afford to do that. Okay, every single day, just take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and go over a pattern. And just recite, read those words 3 or 4, 5, 10 times, 20 times, until it sticks in your head. And you know that these words are part of one group. They're associated with each other by this pattern. They all follow the same pattern. For example, they follow Dhamma, Shadda, Fatha, Alif, Fu'al. And associate them with each other. You have to memorize them. There's no other choice except to memorize them. But if you memorize them together as a group and associate them with each other, it definitely helps. Okay, the next pattern. The next pattern that came in the key is af'al. Af'al. Okay, this pattern here. Af'al. In this pattern, we see something that we didn't see before. That is, we see something being added to the beginning of the word. Okay, Hamza, Fatha, being added to the beginning of the word. Before the first, second, and third letter of the word, there's something being added here. And then after the second letter, there's also something being added here. So we're going to see a few changes taking place, okay? The first thing we're going to see, we're going to have Hamza, Fatha, being added to the beginning. The first letter of the root of the word is going to take sukoon. The second letter of the root of the word, second letter. This is not the first letter. This is the first letter, the fa. The second letter is the ayn. The second letter is going to take fatha, alif. And the third letter, the lam of the pattern, which represents the third letter of the root, is not going to have any change to it. It's just going to remain the same. Okay? So the first change is going to be hamza, fatha. The first letter of the root is going to take sukoon. And the second letter of the root is going to take fatha, alif. Alright, that's what we're going to do for this pattern. Okay, so the example that they gave us is qalamun. What does qalamun mean? Pen. Just like we learned qalamun, now we have to learn the plural of qalamun. Okay, the root is easy. There are only three letters here, right? So we have what? We have qaf. We have lam, and we have Meme. Those are the three letters of the root of the word. Okay, so what do we have to do now to follow this pattern? We have to add something in the beginning, right? Hamza, Fatha. The first letter of the root, what happens to it? Takes sukun. The second letter of the root, what happens to it? Fatha, Alif. And the third letter, we don't have to do anything, right? So what does this word become? Aqlamun. Aqlamun. So qalam, the plural of it, on the wazn of af'al, is aqlam. Af'al, aqlam. Aqlamun. Aqlamun. Okay? Give me another example that goes to this pattern. For example, huh? Excuse me?
I say
Yeah, it's I want to make an easy one because it has a shadda in that word. Okay, so the root is a little bit tricky, but okay, we could do it. right? Ammun. Okay. How many letters do we have in this word? Two?
Three.
We have three. What's the first letter of this word? Ayn, right? What's the second letter of this word?
Meem.
And what's the third letter?
Meem.
There are two memes in this word. We didn't write both of them. You don't have to in Arabic, right? When you have a letter doubled back to back, the first of them must have sukoon. Then you don't have to write them twice, right? You just write shadda. But really, there's two letters there. You have to pronounce it when you read that word. You don't say amun. You say ammun. That means there's two memes. You're saying ammun. That's two memes. Okay, so we have a meme here. We have another meme here. We have ayn, meme, and meme. According to this pattern, af'al, what do we have to do to the beginning of this word? Hamza, fatha. The first letter of the word, which is ayn, does what happens to it?
Sukun.
Takes sukun. The second letter of the word, what happens to it?
Fatha,
alif. And the third letter, we don't have to do anything to it, right? So what does this become? A'mamun. A'mamun. Af'al, a'mam. Alright? I'll give you an easier example than this. What does this word mean? A boy or a child. Waladun. Waladun. Okay? What is the root of this word? The first letter is what?
Wow.
The second letter is what?
Lam.
The third letter?
Dal.
Okay, according to our pattern, af'al, the beginning of it, we have to do what? Hamza, fatha. The first letter of the root takes what?
Sukun.
Second letter of the root takes what? Fatha, alif. So it becomes what?
Awlad.
Af'al. Awlad. So we have what? Qalamun, aqlamun. Ammun, a'mamun. Waladun, awladun. So according to this pattern, this group of words, they all follow the same pattern. You have to memorize. The plural of qalam is aqlam. You have to memorize that. Okay? The plural of am is a'mam. You have to memorize it. Just like you memorize am means your paternal uncle, you have to learn, you have to memorize that a'mam means paternal uncles. You have to memorize it. But we want to take some of these words that we memorize and put them into groups that are associated with each other. So we say, aqlamun, a'mamun, awladun. And all of them have the same pattern, the same rhythm. And by you associating with each other, by keep saying them, they stick in your memory as a group. You associate one with the other. If you forget one of them, it will help you remember the other one. Now,
When you change it, I notice that you are not adding the
Dhammatain. I'm not adding the Dhammatain.
Is it necessary to or not necessary?
I'm not adding the Dhammatain because it's not always going to be Dhammatain. What we're talking about here is what is constant. That's mandatory. These are the changes that have to take place. As far as the Dhammatain, since these words are nouns, They can take Dhammatain or they can take Alif Lam. So if it has Alif Lam, it's not going to be Dhammatain, right? So that's why I'm not emphasizing the Dhammatain. It's not always going to be Dhammatain. The pattern, what's consistent in the pattern is what we are mentioning here. As far as the Dhammatain, it may change to a single Dhamma. Okay, and then we also have these two broken plural patterns, Fu'ala and Af'ila, both of them are Mamnu'un min al-Sarf. They don't even take Dhammatain. They can't take Tanween at all. Okay, these are the two that you need to emphasize the ending. Because you have to remember that this does not take Tanween. And this does not take Tanween. You have to remember that. Okay, that's the one you need to emphasize the vowel on the end. Because if it has Alif Lam, it's going to take a single vowel. And if it does not have Alif Lam, it's still going to take a single vowel. Because Mamnu'un min al-Sarf can't take Tanween. Okay, so I want you to pay attention to that. Okay. The next pattern now.
So when the letter in the end was before the end before the letter in the end is there was a lam alif,
mm-hmm.
So we don't have to put the win at the end.
Not necessarily, not all the time. No, that's not the absolute.
Or the hamza. The hamza doesn't take the win at the end.
That's not absolute either. Not absolute. We will see some examples. The Hamza at the end taking Tanween. There are some examples where it takes Tanween. So that's not absolute. But that's what we see here. But only this full pattern, not because of the lam alif, but because of this full pattern. Altogether, it doesn't take Tanween. Okay, and this full pattern doesn't take Tanween. But just a word that ends with lam alif, we can't say absolutely that it's not going to take Tanween. Because there are some words that end with lam aleph and they do take Tanween. So we'll see inshallah as we go along. Okay, the next pattern is fu'ala'u. 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 This is the fa, ayn, lam. The first letter takes dhamma. The second letter, the ayn, takes fatta. And the third letter takes fatta, aleph, followed by hamza, with a single vowel. So there's a lot of changes taking place here. There's Dhamma, there's Fatha, Alif, and then there's Hamza. That's added also. So you have an Alif added here, and you also have a Hamza added here. Alright, so this pattern is Fu'ala'u. It's Mamnu'un min al-Sarf, doesn't take Tanween. Fu'ala'u. The example that they gave us is Zamilun. What does Zamilun mean? Classmate or colleague or associate. Naam, zamil. Zamil does not mean friend. Your classmate might be a friend and might not be. Your colleague on the job might be a friend and in many cases might not be. Especially if they're kuffar. Zamilun, right? This word has five letters. One of them is the added letter. Which one is it? The long vowel, yeah. Most of the time it's the long vowel. Okay, so we have Zay, and we have Meem, and we have Lam. Alright? According to the pattern of Fu'ala'u, the first letter, the Fa of the word is going to take what?
Dhamma.
The second letter, the Ayn of the word is going to take? Fatta. And what?
Alif.
Oh, Lam Aleph, I'm sorry. The second letter takes Fatta, and the third letter takes what? Aleph, Fatta, Aleph, and Hamza. Alright? The first letter, the Fa, takes Dhamma. The second letter, the Ayn, takes Fatta only. And the third letter, the Lam of the letter, which in this case is actually a Lam itself, takes Fatta, Aleph. Fatta, Aleph, followed by Hamza. Alright, so Zamil, the plural of it, according to the wazn of Fu'ala'u, is what?
Zumala'u.
Zumala'u. Zumala'u. Zamil, Zumala. Another example that we could use for this pattern is Wazir. What does Wazir mean?
Minister in government.
Minister in government, Wazir. Okay, it has four letters. Which one is the extra letter?
The
long vowel.
Okay? So the first letter of the root is what? Wow. The second letter of the root is? Zay. The third letter of the root is? Ra. Okay, so according to the pattern of Wozara'u, the first letter is going to take what? Dhamma. The second letter is going to take what? Fatha. The third letter is going to take what? Fatha Alif. Followed by Hamza with a single vowel. So the plural of wazir is what? Wuzara'u. 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 Okay? So you have Zumala'u and Wuzara'u. And one more example. One more example is the word, and there are many, but the word Amir. What does Amir mean?
Prince,
commander, or something like this. The one who's in authority, the Amir. The head of the Jama'ah. Okay, what's the root? We have an extra letter here, which is another long vowel, Ya. Yeah. So the root of this word is
Hamza,
Meem, and Ra. Alright? So according to the pattern of this word, according to the pattern of Fu'ala, the first letter is going to take what?
Dhamma.
The second letter is going to take what? Fatha. And the third letter is going to take what? Fatha Aleph followed by Hamza with a single vowel. So it's going to become what?
Umara.
Okay, so this pattern of Fu'ala, it has many words. From amongst them is the plural of Zamil, Wazir, and Amir, which is what? Zamir, Zumala'u, Wazir, Wuzara'u, Amir, Umara'u. So you have Zumala'u, Wuzara'u, Umara'u. And many other words like this. Okay, so this is, this pattern though, again, I emphasize the point, make sure you pay attention, that it's Mamnu' min al-Sarf. Doesn't take tanween. Okay, the next pattern that we have is Af'ila'u. Af'ila'u. And this one, along with the one before, is Mamnu' min al-Sarf. Af'ila'u. Af'ila'u. And the example that they gave us is Sadiq. Sadiq has how many letters?
Four.
One of them is the extra letter. Which one is it? The long vowel. Yeah. Okay, so the root of this word is what? Sad, Dal, and Qaf. And Qaf. We're going to need a little space here. Let me write it down a little bit. Sad, Dal, and Qaf. All right. According to this pattern, Af'ila'u. The first thing is we have something added before the first letter. Hamza and Fatha. The first letter of the root of the word is going to take Sukoon. The second letter of the root of the word is going to take Kasra. The third letter of the root of the word is going to take Fatha, Alif, followed by Hamza with a single vowel. Okay? So, what are we going to do according to the pattern of Af'ila? We're going to add to the beginning of it Hamza with Fatha. The first letter, the fa of the word of the root is going to take Sukoon. The ayn of the root of the word is going to take Kasra. The lam of the root of the word is going to take Fatha Alif. Fatha Alif. Followed by Hamza with a single vowel. Alright, so this word is going to become what? Asdiqa'u. Asdiqa'u. The plural of sadiq is asdiqa'u. 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 Somebody give me another example that comes under this root. Af'ila. Huh? Ghaniyun. Ghaniyun. Tayyib. Ghaniyun. Ghaniyun. What does that mean? Ghaniyun.
Rich.
Alright? What's the root of this word? Ghaniyun. Ghain. Noon. And ya. Well, let's change this ya a little bit. We don't need to change it. Let's make it like this. Ya. Ghain.
Noon and Ya. Okay, غنيٌ, it's plural, is on the pattern of أفعلاءُ. Means it takes Hamza with Fatha. The first letter of the root takes Sukoon. Second letter of the root takes Kasra. Third letter of the root takes Fatha Alif followed by Hamza with a single vowel. Alright, so what are we going to do in the beginning of it?
Hamza
with Fatha. The first letter of the root takes what?
Sukoon.
Second letter of the root takes what? Kasra. The third letter of the root takes what? Fatha Alif. Followed by? Hamza with a single vowel. So it will become what? Doesn't look that clear to us, but it's Agh-ni-ya-u. 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 According to the wazn of what? Af-i-la-u. 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 Agh-ni-ya-u. Asdiqa-u. Naam. Alright, and we'll look at some more examples for each of them, inshallah, whichever ones we're going to take today, after we finish this last one. The last one is the most rare of the broken plural patterns, and it does not have in the Arabic language a lot of words that have plurals according to this pattern. There are very, very few words in the Arabic language that have plurals according to this pattern. It's a rare pattern. Okay, but alhamdulillah, they gave us a couple of examples, and we also added to it a few more examples that we will send to you in the notes for the class. طيب, this pattern is فعلتن. فعلتن. The first letter of the root, the fa, takes kasra. The second letter of the root, the ayn, takes sukoon. The third letter of the root takes fatha, followed by an added ta marbuta. Added ta marbuta. So we have kasra, sukoon, fatha. Kasra, sukoon, fatha, ta marbuta. That's the pattern. Okay? The pattern is what? First letter takes kasra, second letter takes sukoon, third letter takes fatha. Kasra, sukoon, fatha, ta marbuta. So we have here a strange word that only has two letters. So the root of this word, we know one of them is what? Hamza. And the second of them is Kha. The third one is a mystery letter. Does anybody have an idea what it is?
Wow.
It's Wow. It's Wow. The third one is Wow.
Don't know why.
Huh?
Don't know why.
We don't know why. But actually it is known why. But we don't know why. Because we have to go to the root of the Arabic language and see what's the root of the word Akh in the dictionary. And you'll find that in the root of it is the letter Waw. And the original root of it is the letter Waw. But we don't see it in the word Akh. Okay? But we see it when we see the plural. So the root of it is Hamza, Kha, and Waw. According to the pattern of Fi'latun, Kasra, Sukoon, Fatta, Tha, Mabuta, the first letter is going to take what? Kasra. The second letter is going to take what? Sukoon. The third letter is going to take what? Fatha, followed by? Taramabuta. Followed by Taramabuta. So what's the plural of? Akhun. Ikhwatun. With short vowels. Ikhwatun. And by the way, this Hamza with Kasra can be written like this. With Hamza on top of the Alif and Kasra below it. And it can also be written like this, with Hamza on top of it, with Kasra underneath the Hamza. And it can also be written like this, with Hamza underneath it, with Kasra. And all of that is Hamza with Kasra. Okay, when you have Hamza with Kasra, you can write the Kasra here, or you can write the Kasra here. Or you can write the Hamza here on the bottom. Either way, all of that is correct. Alright? Because whenever you have Hamza, and whenever you have Shadda, the vowel is determined by whether or not it's above or below the Hamza or the Shadda. If the vowel is below the Hamza, it's Kasra, even though it's on top of the letter. If the vowel is below the Shadda, even though it's on top of the letter, it's Kasra. Okay, because the Shadda and the Hamza is the letter that is considered here. So if the vowel is above the Shadda, it's Fatha. If it's below the Shadda, it's Kasra, even though it's written on top of the letter. Alright, so anyway, the plural here is what? Ikhwa. إخوة.
How do you call the ta at the end?
نعم.
Ta مربوطة.
Ta مربوطة. نعم.
مربوطة.
نعم.
Because before I read it like ta dom ta domatain.
Ta domatain.
Yeah. That's why.
I don't know what you mean by ta dhammatain.
Like ta with double dhamma.
With double dhamma?
Yeah.
What if it's ta with double kasra? What you say?
Ta kasratain.
Ah, so what if it? That's ka dhammatain, right? So what if this letter here is written like this with two dhammas? What do you read that as?
Two.
No, you said you read this as ta dhammatain. What do you read this as? You don't read this as ta dhammatain?
Yeah, the same, yeah.
But they're not the same though. They're not the same. So how can you read them the same? How can this be ta dhammatain and this also ta dhammatain? That's not possible. This is ta maftuha. And this is ta marbuta. They are not the same. They are not the same. Ta maftuha can be written in the beginning of a word, in the middle of a word, or in the end of a word. Ta marbuta can only be written at the end of the word. It has to be the last letter of the word. This letter ta maftuha is always pronounced as a ta. This letter ta mabuta is only pronounced if you read something after it. If you stop on it, you don't pronounce it as ta, you pronounce it as ha. This is always pronounced as ta. This can be pronounced as ta if you keep reading, and it can be pronounced as ha if you stop on it. So this is really a different letter, it's not the same. The rules for it are different. Ta maftuha can be preceded by any vowel. Ta marbuta can only be preceded by what vowel?
Fatha.
Fatha only. It must be preceded by fatha. This one can be preceded by any vowel. So they have a lot of differences between these two letters. They're not the same. All right, this is what we wanted to cover today. So if it's time, oh, it's not time to go. Okay, alhamdulillah, it's not time to go. So this is what the main thing that we wanted to cover today. But we're going to stay for a while. I think I touched one of these telephones. I hope it's still on. Whose telephone is this? Check it. Just check it. Now. Yes. Nobody else, though. Now. You're like Ukasha. Ukasha. He was the first one who asked. And whoever came after him, they didn't get it. Tayyip. Okay, I want to erase some of this, okay? Because we want to do something else, okay? So please pardon me. These are the eight patterns that we have in this lesson. These are the eight patterns that you have to learn for this lesson. There are more patterns. There's at least another 10 or 15 more patterns. We're not going to learn them all in this book. But these are the ones that we're going to learn for now, and later on we may learn a few more. As we go along into the future, next levels, we might learn a few more. Okay, but these are the ones that you need to learn for now. Try to learn one every other day at least. If you learn one every other day, by next week you have added to what you have learned already at least three or four more. And then inshallah, the following week after that, if you didn't finish, you can finish them in the third week. But you have to stay on top of it and try to do as many as you can every single day as we go along without delay. Every day without delay. Afwan. Again, I said it before and I'll say it again, there's no escape from this except to memorize them. You have to memorize them. It's up to you. If you want to memorize everyone individually by itself, outside of its group, or memorize it with the others that are in the same group according to the pattern. It's up to you, whichever way you like. If you want to memorize all the ones that come from one pattern together and associate them with one another, I think that's better. But if you find it easier just to memorize them without any consideration of group, as you like, no problem. The main thing to me is that you learn them. I don't care how you do it. Do it though, that's all. Alright, so we're going to stop with this and then we will, inshallah, look at the first... Did we read the dialogue for this lesson?
No.
We didn't. So we need to look at the dialogue then, inshallah. Okay, open up the book to the dialogue. Open up the book to the Arabic dialogue. Somebody tell us which page that is? Excuse me? 68 and 69. Type. Somebody open up to 68 and 69. Oh, everybody. Open up to 68 and 69. I hope everybody read this already for homework. I hope you read it already. And if you have read it already and you're already familiar with it, it will help us a lot to be able to get through this dialogue as quickly as possible. Again, when we're reading the dialogue, we're doing a number of things. The first thing that we do in the dialogue is we are practicing our reading skills. Can we recognize the words and pronounce the letters correctly? We have to learn how to read better. And that comes from practicing reading. Reading out loud, meaning read in an audible voice so you can hear yourself reading. Trying to pronounce the words correctly. Trying to pronounce the letters correctly. Paying attention to short vowels and long vowels. And diphthongs and shadda. And reading it properly. The second thing is comprehension, understanding what you're reading. That's critical because that's the objective, right? When we read something in Arabic, we want to understand what we're reading. So you have to pay attention and try to make sure you're understanding what you're reading. The third thing, we're looking for the grammatical points that are in the new lesson. In this particular case, we're talking about plurals, plural form of verbs, plural form of pronouns, and plural forms of ism ishara, hadha, hadihi, ha'ulai, things like this. Okay, these are some of the things that came in this lesson. So we want to look for the grammatical points that came in this lesson as we are reading. All right. And also I remind you that this lesson is in three parts. And so far we're only dealing with part A. But for next week, inshallah, you'll be reading part B. And the following week, part C or Jim. Alif, Ba, and Jim. All right? So we're going to read the dialogue today for the first part, Aleph. And next week, inshallah, we'll read the dialogue for part B and the exercises that go with it. Again, we're reading for what? Pronunciation, recognition of the meaning of words, comprehension, and also for the grammatical points. I want you to translate with me as we go through this dialogue. Man ha'ulai al-fityatu. الطوال يا علي من هؤلاء الفتية الطوال يا علي. What is the meaning? طيب, who are these tall young men? O Ali. هؤلاء means these, the plural of هذا or هذه. الفتية is the plural of what? فتان. A young man. And tiwal is the plural of what? Tawil. Tawilun, tiwalun. Ala wazn? Fi'alun. Tawil is from the wazn fi'al. Kasra, fatha, alif. Fi'al. Tawil, tiwal. Man ha'ulai al-fityatu, al-tiwal. These tall fitya. Ya Ali. He answers, hum tullabun jududun. Hum Tullabun jududun. What is the meaning? They are new students. Hum means they, that's the plural of huwa. Huwa, hum. Tullab is the plural of? Talib. Which means it's a male student, right? Tullab on the wazn of? Fu'al. Fu'al. Dhamma, shadda, fatha, fatha, alif. Tullab. Talib, tullab. Hum tullab. What kind of tullab? Jududun. Jududun is the plural of? Jadid. Ala wazn what? Fu'ul. Fu'ul. Dhamma dhamma. Fu'ul. Dhamma dhamma. Jadid. Judud. Hum tullabun jududun. They are students. What kind of students? New students. Min ayna hum? Min ayna hum? Where are they from? Min Aina. Aina means where. From where are they? Hum. Where are they from? Hum min Amrika. What is the name? They are from America. Ahum zumala'uka? Ahum zumala'uka? Are they your classmates or colleagues? They are students, so are they his classmates? Ahum zumala'uka? Zumala'uka, what is it the plural of? Naam. Zamiluka, zumala'uka. Zamil, the plural is zumala, ala wazn? Fu'ala'u. Fu'ala'u. Zumala'u. Zumala'uka. Are they your classmates? Naam. Hum zumala'i. Hum fi fasli. What is the meaning? Naam. Hum zumala'i. Yes, they are my classmates. Hum fi fasli. They are in my classroom. Ahum mujtahiduna. Are they what? Hardworking, diligent students. Ahum mujtahiduna. Mujtahiduna is the plural of what? Mujtahid. Mujtahid. Which is a sound plural or a broken plural? Sound plural, just add una. Mujtahid, mujtahiduna. Sound plural. Mujtahid means a hard working, diligent person. Ahum mujtahiduna? Naam. Hum mujtahiduna. Meaning? Yes, they are hard working students. Ma asma'uhum. Ma asma'uhum. What does it mean? What are their names? Asma is the plural of what? Ism, the plural of ism, asma, on what wazn? Af'alun. Af'alun. Asma'un. Ma asma'uhum. What are their names? Asma'uhum Yasirun wa Zakariya wa Musa wa Abdullahi. Asma'uhum means their names are Yasir, Zakariya, Musa, and Abdullah. Wa min ha'ulai ar-rijalu al-qisaru. Min ha'ulai ar-rijalu al-qisaru. What is the meaning? Who are these short men? Who are these short men? Remember, ha'ulai is the plural of hadha or hadhihi. That's the ism ishara for things which are near. So don't say ha'ulai means those men, it means these men. These men.
Question.
Now.
It was the last you said Abdullah, Abdullahi.
Now.
Why did you put the kasra on the ending?
Abdullahi has kasra because of what? Somebody help me. Mudaf, mudaf ilayh. مضاف إليه مضاف مضاف إليه مضاف إليه is always مجرور كسرة عبد الله. طيب من هؤلاء الرجال القصار. Who are these short men? الرجال is the plural of what? الرجل على وزن
فعال.
فعال. رجال. قصار is the plural of what? قصير على وزن فعال. قصير قصار. قصار رجال. Both of them are on the wazn فعال. Who are these short men? قصار is the plural of قصير, which means short. رجال is the plural of رجل, which means a man. Who are these short men? هم حجاج. هم حجاج means they are what? They are pilgrims, people who performing Hajj. Hujjaj. Hujjaj is the plural of? Hajjun. And it's on the wazn of? Fu'al. Dhamma, shadda, fatha, alif. Hujjaj. Min aynahum? Where are they from? Ba'duhum min al-Sini. Wa ba'duhum min al-Yabani. Ba'duhum? Some of them are from al-Sini. China, and some of them are min al-Yaban, Japan. طيب turn the page 69. أين موسى وأصدقاؤه؟ أين موسى وأصدقاؤه؟ What is the meaning?
Where is
موسى and his friends? نعم, أصدقاء is the plural of what? صديق. صديق, which means what? Friends. أين موسى وأصدقاؤه؟ أصدقاء is on the wazn of what? أفعلاؤ. أفعلاؤ. أصدقاؤ. أصدقاؤ. Put a hamza with fatha in the beginning. سكون on the first letter of صديق. كسر on the second letter of صديق. And fatha. Fatha alif on the last letter qaf. أصدقاؤ. With hamza added with a single vowel. No tanwin. Where is Musa and his friends? ذهبوا إلى المطعم. نعم, meaning?
They went
to the restaurant. المطعم. Huh? مطعم. The مطعم is the place where you take طعام. What is طعام?
Food.
مطعم is the place. Remember we said you add meme in the beginning? With فتح it means place or time. With كسر it means the tool or instrument. With ضم it means the person who has that quality. So مطعم is from طعم, from طعم, food. It's the place where you get the food. مطعم. طباخ, طابخ, طباخ. يعني the person who's طبخة, who cooks. Maybe he's a chef, is a special cook though. He's not just a regular cook.
How do you say the first?
Allahu alam. What is the chef? Chef is more than just a cook, right?
But he's a scientist.
He's a scientist. Scientist cook. Yeah. Naam. ذهبوا إلى الطعام. ذهبوا is the plural of what? ذهب. 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 He went. ذهبوا. They went. ذهبوا إلى المطعم. Okay. This is the dialogue, and you should have already read it, and hopefully it seems as though most of you have understood it well. It's not a long dialogue. It contains some plural forms, some broken plurals, sound plurals, contains pronouns, plural pronouns, and one plural verb form. Okay, the first exercise from this lesson, inshallah, you should have done for homework. And there are four or five, six exercises. Allahu A'lam, we probably won't finish them all today. But in any case, we looked at the first exercise last week. Okay, we looked at the singulars and the plurals. And I just want to remind you that these plurals are in groups, okay, according to patterns. Okay, you can make a note of this. Look at the left side of the page. Left column of the page, which have the broken plural forms there. Okay? Notice that each group of broken plurals are together with the other noun, other plurals that come from the same pattern. So you have tulab, tujar, and hujjaj. Okay? All of them are on one pattern. Make a note of that. Maybe draw a line under hujjaj. That's the end of the first group. The first group is tulab, tujar, and hujjaj. They are on which pattern? Fu'al. Fu'al, which is our fourth pattern there. They are on the fourth pattern. Fu'al. The fourth pattern. Dhamma, tulab, tujjar, and hujjaj. The first three on the left hand side of the page. Tulab, tujjar, and hujjaj. All of them are on the pattern of fu'al. Dhamma, shadda, fatha, alif. Okay? Next group. Next group of words include Rijal, Kibar, Sigar, Kisar, and Tiwal. Draw a line under Tiwal. Okay, these five words are all on one pattern. Rijal, Kibar, Sigar, Kisar, Tiwal. What pattern is that? Fi'al. Kasra, Fatha, Alif. Fi'al. Tiwal. Fi'al, qisar, sigar, kibar, rijal. All of them on the same pattern. The next group of words, awlad, abna, and a'mam. Three words. They're on the same pattern. Awladun, abna'un, a'mamun. What's their pattern? Af'al. Af'al, wearing hamza with fatha in the beginning. The first letter of the original root takes sukoon, and the second letter takes فتحة ألف. أولاد أبناء أعمام. Alright, next group شيوخ and ضيوف. Two words on the pattern of what? What pattern is شيوخ؟ فعول. The first pattern that we had on the board, فعول. شيوخ from شيخ, ضيوف from ضيف. Okay, these two words are on the pattern فعول. ضمة واو. Okay, the next pattern, زملاء and فقراء. زملاء and فقراء is on the pattern of what? فعلاء. 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 That means ضمة فتة ألف followed by حمزة with a single vowel. This is a pattern that's ممنوع من الصرف. These two words are from the same pattern, from the pattern of فعلاء. زملاء from زميل and فقراء from فقير. The next group is what? أغنياء, أصدقاء, أطباء. Three words, they're in the same pattern. Which pattern is that? أغنياء. أفعلاء. أفعلاء. Okay, أغنياء, أصدقاء, أطباء. All of them are in the pattern أفعلاء. Okay, the next group فتية, from فتى, فتن. فتية and إخوة, both of them are in the pattern of what? فعلة. فعلة كسرة سكون فتى with a تاء مربوطة added to it. فتية and إخوة on the pattern فعلة. And the last pattern is for the word جدد, from جديد. جدد is on what pattern? فعل. The second pattern that we had on the board, فعل. فعل. إخوة is the last pattern, the eighth pattern. إخوة and فتية, and جدد is the second pattern. فعل. ضمة. جدد. فعل. And we also have for that pattern that we mentioned earlier, right? كتب and رسول and many other words. Okay? After that, we have sound plurals. From مدرس, مدرسون. From مهندس, مهندسون. From فلاح, فلاحون. From مجتهد, مجتهدون. From مسلم, مسلمون. So the last five words are all sound plurals. And what they want you to do with this exercise, which you were supposed to do for homework, I would like to ask, but I'm not going to ask, who did the homework? I'm not going to ask. I hope you did it. If you didn't do it, you still have a chance, inshallah, between now and next week, to do it with the rest of the exercises from this first part of the lesson. Okay? So what are we doing with this exercise? It says, Hawwal. Okay, go back to page 69, the beginning of exercise number 1. And it says, Tamareen. Hawwal. With sukoon on the lamb, how will? That means transform or change. Al mubtada'a. That is the mubtada is what? The subject of the sentence, the first word of the sentence. Change the mubtada fi kullin in each min al jumali of the sentences al atiyati that follow. In each of the following sentences, change the mubtada ila jam'in to plural. So for example, you have هَذَا طَالِبٌ. You're going to change هَذَا, which is the مُبْتَدَى, to its plural, which is هَؤُلَاءِ. And you're going to change طَالِب to its plural, which is طُلَّاب. هَؤُلَاءِ طُلَّابٌ. Okay, let's do them quickly. Somebody take the first one. Start this side, Abdul Haq. Give me the first one. هَذَا تَاجِرٌ. Give me the plural. هَؤُلَاءِ تُجَّارٌ. هَذَا حَاجٌ. Somebody. Give me, somebody raise your hand. Take it, Ahmed.
حجاج.
Give me هؤلاء.
هؤلاء
حجاج. هؤلاء حجاج. Number 3. هذا رجل إبراهيم.
هؤلاء رجال.
هؤلاء رجال.
Number four, هذا كبير نجم دين. Okay, go ahead, Bilal. هؤلاء كبار. نعم. Number five, هذا صغير نجم دين. هؤلاء صغار. Number six, هذا قصير. Plo? Who wants it? هؤلاء قصار. Number seven, هذا طويل. هؤلاء طوال. نعم أحمد. هذا ولد.
هؤلاء أولاد.
هؤلاء أولاد. Number nine, إبراهيم. هذا ابن.
هؤلاء أبناء.
هؤلاء أبناء. Number ten, هذا عم. Who wants it?
هؤلاء
أعمام. Number 11, هذا شيخ.
هؤلاء شيوخ.
Turn the page. Page 70. Number 12, هذا ضيف. Anybody?
هؤلاء
ضيوف. Number 13, هذا زميل. هؤلاء زملاء. Number 14, هذا فقير. هؤلاء فقراء with a single vowel. Number 15, هذا غني. هؤلاء أغنياء with a single vowel. Number 16, هذا صديق. هؤلاء أصدقاء with a single vowel. هذا طبيب. هؤلاء أطباء with a single vowel. نعم.
So the other one, like صديقٌ, is أصدقاء.
I know you want طبيب, right?
Yeah, but
أطباء. We'll come back to it, inshallah. I'll come back to it. It's a little trick in the pattern. I'll show it to you, inshallah. Because طبيب has two letters that are doubled, right? It has طا, باء, and باء, right? Okay, we'll come back to it, inshallah, for the sake of time. Number 18, هذا فتى. هؤلاء
فتيات.
With no long vowel. فتيتون. فتيتون. Number 19, هذا أخ. هؤلاء إخوة. Number 20, هذا جديد. هؤلاء جدد. Number 21, هذا مدرس. هؤلاء مدرسون. 22, هذا مهندس. هؤلاء مهندسون. Number 23, هذا فلاح. هؤلاء فلاحون. Number 24, هذا مجتهد. هؤلاء مجتهدون. Number 25, هذا مسلم. هؤلاء مسلمون.
I'm going to have mercy on you, but my better judgment is telling me to drive you on, make you keep going, don't stop. But I'm going to have mercy on you. I really want to keep going. I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop. And I don't hear anybody saying, don't stop, keep going. I don't hear anybody saying, keep going, keep going. Okay. I'm just going to tell you what you got to do for the rest of the exercises to make sure you please do them for homework. Exercise number 2 on page 70 on the bottom of the page. Exercise number 2 says حول. That means change or transform. المفردات. Okay. المفردات, the words التي تحتها خط. The words that have a line, that have underneath them a line, meaning the words that are underlined. Transform the underlying words إلى جموع, to plurals. كما, just as. هو موضح, as it is made clear. موضح, from وضح. وضح, to make something clear. واضح, just as it has been made clear. في المثال, in the example. So it says transform or change the مفردات, the words that are, the singular words that are underlined, to plurals. just as it has been made clear in the example. The example, من هذا الرجل. The word that's underlined is what? الرجل. So you have to make it plural. Alright? من هذا الرجل هو حاج. Now when you change رجل to رجال, you also have to change the اسم إشارة هذا from singular to plural, right? So you got when you say رجال, you can't say هذا رجال, you got to say هؤلاء الرجال. من هؤلاء الرجال. And instead of saying هو حاج, you're going to make it plural, you're going to say what? هم حجاج. Okay, so like for example, the first one, من أين هذا الطالب هو من الهند. من أين هذا الطالب. A طالب got to be transformed to what? طلاب. So you're going to say من أين هؤلاء الطلاب. Instead of هو, you're going to say هم من الهند. Okay, that's the first exercise. Turn the page to the next exercise. Exercise number 3 says أضف الأسماء الآتية. Connect in إضافة. This أضف means to connect in إضافة. In إضافة construction. مضافن مضافن إليه. Connect الأسماء الآتية. The following nouns. مرة. One time. إلى اسم ظاهر. To a clear noun. وأخرى. And the next time. إلى ضمير. To a pronoun. So one time you're going to connect it to a clear noun, ism ظاهر, and the next time you're going to connect it to a pronoun, a ضمير. كما هو موضح في المثال. Just as it is made clear in the example. Okay, the example is أبناؤن. Now أبناؤن, you want to put it in إضافة one time to a clear noun, a regular noun, and the next time to a pronoun, like هو or هم or أنتم, like this. Okay, to a pronoun. So the example أبناؤن, when you put it in إضافة, it becomes أبناء محمدٍ. Right? أبناء محمدٍ. Notice that أبناؤن, when you put it in إضافة, it doesn't have تنوين anymore. Why is that? No. Not because it's ممنوع من الصرف. Because the مضاف never takes ألف لام or تنوين. The first word of the إضافة construction never takes ألف لام or تنوين. That's the rules of إضافة. The مضافة never takes ألف لام or تنوين. So أبناؤن, when you put it in إضافة, it can't be أبناؤن محمد. It becomes أبناء محمدٍ. محمدٍ is مجرور with كسرة. Why? Because مضافة إليه is always مجرور. أبناء محمدٍ. In the second case, they said put it in إضافة with a ضمير, a pronoun. So now instead of أبناء محمدٍ, it becomes أبناؤه. The sons of Muhammad becomes the sons of him, his sons, right? Notice that أبناؤن, which is written with Hamza on the line, in أبناؤه, it's not written on the line. What is Hamza written on? Wake up.
Wow.
It's written on wow. It's written on wow. Whenever you have any of these words that end with Hamza, if they put it in إضافة, with a ism ظاهر, clear noun, it remains like it is. But when they put an إضافة with a pronoun, a ضمير, it has to be written on wow. It has to be written on wow. When it's connected in إضافة with a pronoun, you have to write it on top of wow. Alright? Okay, so the first example, that's the example, the first one that they give you is أسماؤن. If you put an إضافة with طلاب, it will become what? أسماء الطلاب. If you put it in إضافة with the pronoun, it'll become what? أسماؤهم. But here you're going to write the Hamza on top of what? Wow. Don't forget to put it on top of wow when you connect it to a pronoun. زملاء becomes زملاء حامدٍ or زملاءك, but written on top of a wow. أصدقاء becomes أصدقاء المدرسي or أصدقاءه. But in this case, when it's connected to a pronoun إضافة, you have to write on top of wow. Okay, the fourth exercise is read the examples and then transform the following sentences like it. اقرأ المثال. Read the مثال. ثم حول. Then transform الجمل الآتية, the following sentences, just like it, in the same manner, in the same pattern. Okay, the example is الطالب ذهب إلى المطعم. So what did they change? They changed the طالب to plural, طلاب. They changed ذهب to plural, ذهبوا.
And then the rest of the sentence remains the same. At-tullabu dhahaba, I mean at-talibu dhahaba, at-tullabu dhahabu. At-talibu jalasa, at-tullabu what?
Jalasu.
Al-mudarrisu kharaja, al-mudarrisuna kharaju. At-tajiru dhahaba, at-tujjaru Zahabu, like this. Okay, the fifth exercise is reading and writing. Just read it and write it. But when you're reading it, you have to make sure you're pronouncing the words correctly and that you understand the meaning of what you are reading. Okay, the last exercise is Uktub Jam' al-Kalimat al-Atiyah. What does that mean? Uktub Jam'a al-Kalimat al-Atiyah. What does that mean?
Write the plural of the following
words. Write the plural, Jam'a, of the following words. Okay? Write the plurals of the following words. Okay, let's do it quickly, orally. Kabirun. Kibarun. Muslimun. Muslimuna. Rajulun. Rijalun. Ibnun. Awlad is the plural of Ibn? Abna'u. I know where the voices are coming from, too. Don't think you just blending in and you're getting away with something. I know exactly who said that. Baifun. Duyufun, Fatan, Fityatun, Hajun, Hujajun, Akhun, Short vowel, Ikhwatun. I know your voices by now. Sagirun, Sigarun, Tawilun, Tiwalun, Ghaniyun, Agniyaun, Faqirun, Fukaraun. MashaAllah. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, so these exercises, we did them, or at least some of them, in class now. So now you have to write them out for homework. And also part of your homework for next week, inshallah, is to read the dialogue for part B of this lesson on page 74. Read the dialogue. It's very short. It's just a half a page. And then start doing the exercises. And these exercises for part B are just like the exercises for part A. Same exercises. Change the mubtada in the following sentences to plural. Read and write is exercise number 2. Exercise number 3 is read the example and then change the following sentences like it, just like we did in part A. And part 4 is using the ism ishara. We didn't have that in part A, but using the ism ishara means hadha and hadhihi and haulai. If it's masculine singular, say hadha. If it's masculine feminine singular, you say hadhihi. If it's plural, masculine or feminine plural, use ha'ulai. They just want you to put the ism ishara in there. Okay, so start doing the exercises. And the last exercise, number 6, I skipped number 5. Exercise number 6 is plurals for the following words. Some of these are feminine words. Pay attention to the plurals. And exercise number 5 is using the pronouns huwa, hiya, hum, and hunna. And these are pronouns basically that we had before. Huwa and hiya is it's third person masculine and feminine singular, and hum and hunna is third person plural masculine and feminine. So they want you to pay attention to the pronouns. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Huh? At-tibba'u. I'm going to do it now for whoever wants to stay, inshallah, at-tibba'u.